We are actually, forgot about our new setup. I want to let you guys know too, we are doing something different with the second service, with the contemporary service, and we are having the welcome and the announcements and the bulletin, different things at the beginning of the message. So those of you guys might have noticed that the past couple weeks and thought, man, did I miss the announcements or what are they doing here? This is intentional. So when you're downstairs and you hear the music start playing, run on in, because we're just going to get cranking out right there. So I want to draw your attention to the bulletin. A couple of small things in here as we're getting started. We have got a lot of things going on. I'm not going to mention all of them. I do want to let you know that we have our monthly calendars that are available, and they're available out at the Information Center, and we have those also online. Those of you guys who are here this service, you're kind of not the paper crowd. Some of you are. You put it up on the refrigerator or whatnot. If so, this is for you. We've got the calendar online at the church website, and that calendar is directly connected to all of the staff's phones. And so when I need to change, my phone's up here, when I need to change an event, I pull my phone out and I change an event, and it's active on all the staff phones, and it's active on the website like that, which is pretty amazing. It's great, the technology we have. So if you need a paper calendar, we have that. If you're on the digital side of things, then I want to remind you that the church calendar is online. there was another little piece there. Oh, yes. At the very bottom of your bulletin. Now, those of you guys who might be new here, if this is your first Sunday, I do want to say welcome. Here. We are excited to have you here. We've had a number of new faces coming into our building as of lately, and it's just a great thing to have you. And this is going to sound a little awkward if this is your first Sunday, so I just want to set you up for that. But this is a praise for our service and where our church is and where it's come from. If you look at the very bottom of the center of your bulletin, you'll see the numbers section there. And back in December, we had a very clear message on where we were financially, what was going on with our church financially. This budget, the 2013 budget, is a smaller budget because it's based on some of our needs. We have one less personnel, et cetera. And so you'll notice that the weekly budget needed has gone down. But that's not the part that I really wanted to bring your attention to. What I wanted to bring your attention to was that the offering side of things went up. And this is January. January is not a hot month for people to be giving. It's after Christmas. It's not making it to church because of bad weather. It's, you know, trying to pay off this or trying to get finances together and start to rework a budget. And what this tells me is that we've got a church that's putting God at the top of their budget, because if you're starting a new budget in January and giving's already part of it, that's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, give them a hand. Give everyone a hand. So if you are one of those who has started giving for the first time, or you've increased your giving, then keep it up. This is one of the first Sundays I've seen in a long time where we actually brought in more on average than was budgeted. That number, the first number is bigger than the second number, and that's exciting to see. And so don't look at that and say, okay, well, I can slack off. We're making budget. No, our budget is based on a very tight set of here's what we need to function. Now, we could do a lot more. So keep talking to God. Keep having that become part of your conversation. The tear-off portion on the side, if you saw people tearing those off and putting them in the offering plate, then that's cool if you followed their example. If not, if you're thinking, did I miss something? And it's okay. You can go on and fill that out, tear it off, and you can give it to me at the door as you leave, or any of our elders, if you know one of our elders as well, any of the staff members, and we'll get that to the right place. We are on an eight-month stretch of a series, or multiple series, on faith. And we are talking about faith, faith, faith. Last month, or actually the eight-month, I'll give that because it's probably up behind me, isn't it? It's right behind me, isn't it? It's called Simply Faith. So 8 months, Simply Faith. Last month, we talked about exercising faith and got a very, just a grassroots, a basic look at faith. And if you missed that, it is up online also at the church website with the church calendar. Now, this month, we're turning the page to impact. How my faith should impact certain areas in my life. We're going to be talking about household. Should be right down there by the side. We're going to be talking about community, how our faith should impact our community. And that Sunday, which is next Sunday, Justin's going to be preaching. And we're kind of doing a little bit of a switch-up thing. I'm going to be joining these guys down in the Sunday evening next Sunday and the Sunday after. And so I'm going to get a chance to share with them. And then Justin's going to be preaching for me. And so it's a little bit of a trade-off. One Sunday for two. It's fair. Actually, all of my material is already put together. This is material I've taught before. So I have like zero prep for what I'm doing for Justin and the youth group. And he's got to write a whole sermon. So really, I came out ahead, even though it might not look like that. So I'm going to be able to rock out with the band down there. I don't get a chance to do that very often. Just VBS. So once a year, I get to pull out the axe and blow the dust off of it. So I'll be able to do that next week. And so we're switching things up. So he'll be here next week preaching. I'll be here, but he'll be the one bringing the message. Then the Sunday after that is on work. The Sunday after that is on finances. So let's go on back to the household, or for you guys in the back, it's forward. So finances, household. As a pastor, I see families in many different states of life. Many different states of life. I see families at the time when they're celebrating the birth of either their firstborn or another addition to the family. I see families when we're sitting around a kitchen table planning a funeral because they have a dear loved one that has passed. I'm with families at the beginning of their marriage. I spend time with couples, and we go through about 4 to 5 weeks where I'm just giving them all I can give them from God's Word to give a good foundation as they're starting off fresh, brand new. They'll be able to shape what their marriage is going to look like, and we get a chance to set it on the foundation of God's Word, and I get a chance to be a part of that. I also get a chance to be a part of older couples, and their desire is to make sure that this marriage is better than the marriage that they had years and years ago that wasn't so great. Or maybe a marriage that was before they had met the Lord and they had certain things that weren't right there. Driving to the hospital at midnight with a caffeine Coke in my hand. Back in North Carolina, it's all called Coke. So up here, I've gotten used to calling it Pop, and it still feels like I'm betraying my roots. So it's a Coke. Restaurant in North Carolina, when you're in North Carolina, I just spent some time in Georgia. Yes. So you go down there and you say, I'd like a Coke. What kind? I'll take a Mountain Dew. If you've been there, you know it. So I've got something caffeinated in my hands, and I'm waking up. I'm trying to make sure that I'm able to, you know, go for the long haul, and I'm praying for the family because the phone call I got was about a mother and her unborn child that were just in a scary auto accident. Or being at the hospital with a family when the life support's turned off and watching the monitor and listening to the beeps and watching the numbers and just waiting for the inevitable. Couples who come to my office struggling to stay together, struggling through hurdles like infidelity, finance problems, spousal abuse, or spousal neglect, listening to parents describe their wayward child and their hopes and prayers that they would return to the faith. Not as much now, but in the days when I traveled with the band, countless teenagers that I sat and lent an ear to and gave advice to while I was on the road there. Now, with that one exception, that whole list, those aren't just samples or examples or lofty ideas of what a pastor does. Those are actually specific examples of things that I've been involved in here in my 7.5 years. And that's just a partial list. Household. You know, and you wonder why I have a hard time listening to your complaint about the music being too loud down the hall from where you're trying to listen. You know, and I get a phone call and you're leaving a message on my answer machine while I'm out dealing with real ministry. And you wonder why I really don't care as much about that, because I just came from a family that's saying goodbye to a loved one or talking with a family about starting their marriage off the right way, moving things around, little petty stuff kind of puts it in perspective. Household. Our household. So after helping all these families, I go home to my perfect family. Because, you know, I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to have the perfect family. I've got pictures to prove it. My son Isaiah, and we'll have this up on the screen, he made me a card. And this was out of nowhere. Like, he just sat down on the table and did this himself. So he made me this card, and it's got all these hearts on here. And then on the other side, on the inside, it says, "Dad, I love you. I heart you." And so I'm thinking, man, I must be doing something right. Or I might be doing something wrong because my boy's drawing hearts. I don't know which way it is. But really, honestly, I really did. I was really touched by that. And, you know, other pictures like my son Judah. This is one. Yeah. And I don't know. I think he's got the right colors. So isn't it Raphael? Isn't he the one the blue? Doesn't he have swords? And then red? No, red is Raphael, isn't it? Blue is Leonardo, isn't it? All right. So he's got the Psy, and I don't know who the red dude over there is. So maybe that is. Maybe it's Splinter. So yeah, that's from Judah. And then I've got this one right here. Your color isn't as good as these. These are well done color. What is that? What is that a picture of? Almost. That Spider-Man, after he retired, made a lot of donuts. And then came out of retirement because the world needed him because we were being attacked by tall, skinny-necked people. You know? Here's another one from Judah. This one actually makes me a little concerned about Judah because none of these guys are happy. And I love this one. This one is Star Wars, obviously. I mean, because you got Darth Vader with the red saber and the cape and all that. You see it? And Darth Vader, and then you got Luke with the green lightsaber, so you know that it's what movie? Come on, which movie, not what saga? There we go. Yes, the third one is actually good job. Todd was very. So we zoom in, though, because I think this is awesome. He says, Darth Vader says, "You fail, F-A-L. You F-A-L. You fail." And then Luke, "No, you fail." I love that. So, and then I've got this other one from, we're back to Isaiah's artwork here. It's a nice little pretty picture. And we can zoom in on that one. And it's kind of tough to see up on our screen. But that says wow, which is actually mom upside down. The W's and the M's, you know, that's a struggle. And then she's got a big smile on her face. And you got Luda, which is Judah with the backwards J there, and he's smiling. And then Dad. And then you got Isaiah there, little E.T. head smelling the flower. I might be concerned about this child, but literally, on the other side of the paper, Iron Man is blowing this robot to bits with this gun. And it's tough to see up there, but you guys can vouch for me down here. You see all these little particles? I asked him, I said, "What are those? Is that like the octopus?" You know, and he said, "No, that's all his parts flying everywhere." They're like, "Oh yeah. There we go. You can draw me hearts any day of the week, just draw that on the other side." So the perfect family, what does the perfect family look like? Help me out with the perfect family. Mom, Dad. 2.3, it's gone up from last service. We got Dad and 2.3. So we got one. Man, I could draw a half a kid, but 0.3. How's that? It's like not connected. That's the third part that's. So mom and dad and 2.3 kids. All right, you guys made it difficult. What else?
A dog
and a cat. All right. Some fish. All right. So we got Fido here. Something like that. Got a tongue sticking out. It's all right. Lion, dog, you know. So, it's a kitty. Oh, and someone said a fish, right? All right. I don't know. It's a Judah picture. All right. What else? How's that? Does that make you feel better? It's on the bookcase. A house. Okay. So the bookcase is not just out in the middle of nowhere. What kind of house? I mean, it's a perfect family. Oh, okay. I was looking for big, but white picket fence works. So... Oh, let me see here. Here we go. We'll just, that'll just have to do. SUV. So we got the mom's van here. And it looks more like an ambulance because I'm awesome. Here, maybe a lug of drac will help it make it look like an SUV. And then dad got a hold of it. Oh, yeah. Whoom! Because you know you need a Hemi in an SUV. What else? What else we got? The perfect family. What? A big stack of money. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Here, we'll just... Money, money, money. They both have jobs. All right, so... Yeah, some people say, no, perfect family would be no jobs. So he got his laptop bag there, and I don't know, what's she doing? What's kind of a, what? Frisch's. The perfect family. The mom works at Frisch's. Poor waitress. All right, is there another vote for Frisch's, or are we going to? Nurse, teacher. Man, that's tough. Speech path. Here, we'll go with nurse, because that's easy to draw. There we go. What else? Perfect family. What? What? Food? They got food. Awesome food. There we go. There's a refrigerator. Let's let that represent awesome food. Here. Here, we'll do this. Woo! Awesome food. How's that? What? Oh, God! Oh! Oh! Oh, I was wondering when that was going to come. I was like, all right, come on, second service. Put God in there. All right, so here we go. We got God looking down over this wonderful house. He's happy. There he goes. Kind of translucent there. You can see through him. That's all right. And he said Bibles. I hear Bibles. On the bookshelf. Collecting, is that really, before I drop, is that really one of you want the Bibles? Okay, oh, so they're overkill. So this is for the guest, and then this is for everyone else. These aren't little Bibles in their hands. Those are phones with the Bible app on it. So... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. He gets a full cell phone because he's just that awesome. Xbox and recliner. Signs of success. Here, this will just be symbolic. It's the Xbox. The perfect family. Is this what the perfect family looks like? Does anyone have this? Some of it. See, many of you are saying, that's not my picture. My picture doesn't look anything like that. This guy has no clue how messed up my family picture is. He has no idea how off the beaten path my family picture looks like. How very messed up it is. You know, you guys laughed, and I appreciated you laughing because you caught the sarcasm. I don't have the perfect family. I'm a decent dad. I'm proud about that. I think I do a good job as a dad. There are things I could definitely do better. I'm a good husband sometimes. Emphasis on sometimes. But I'm real here. And you guys know that. I'm not going to pretend to have the perfect family. I'm not going to pretend to know exactly what your family situation is. Because I can't. I can't even know what you project as your family situation, much less what goes on behind closed doors, what it really looks like. See, today's topic is not to build this. Today's topic is not going to magically transform your life into this picture perfect family. Today's not about gaining that. That somehow, that if faith would impact my family enough, then this is what I'd have. Today is about real families. It's about real struggles. It's about real situations. It's about real shortcomings. It's about real pain. It's about real joy. It's about real laughter, and it's about real tears. This Sunday's about that family. It's about your family. It's about my family. It's about how our faith should impact that family. Not the family that you hope to be. It's how faith impacts the family that you are. It's not how faith impacts the perfect family. It's how faith impacts the real family. Our faith gives us some very important qualities for our household, for a spouse, for a child, for parents, for grandparents, whoever's in your household, whatever that word represents to you. Our faith has some amazing qualities that brings that to you. And go on and flip your bulletins on over. We're going to take some notes here. We're going to look at four of these. Four of these qualities of what my faith gives me. My faith gives me, the first one is strength. My faith gives me strength necessary to pull through when I'm worn out because God's strength does not wear out. Strength necessary to pull through when I'm worn out because God's strength does not wear out. Life is taxing. Our jobs, dealing with finances, keeping up with our schedules, keeping up with our children's schedules, keeping up with our health, keeping up with our kids' health, keeping up with our parents' health. We just wear ourselves out. Some of it's necessary stuff that we get worn out with. Some of it's unnecessary stuff. But really the result is you pour it all in one big bucket and we're just worn out. And we need strength. And our faith can connect us to the source of strength that can and will replenish us. Let me read to you from Isaiah 40. The writer here, Isaiah, he says, "Do you not know?" I love how he starts this section off. It's just like, really? You don't know this? Do you not know? Have you not heard? You don't know this. You haven't heard about this? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I want you to hear that. He gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, he gives strength to the weary. Find another neighbor. He gives strength to the weary. All right, you guys only had one neighbor? He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I believe we have a room full of people here that could use more strength this morning. We have a bunch of weary people, a bunch of people who are weak, and we need strength. We need power. He says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Notice the progression here is backwards. Wouldn't you normally, you'd walk and then run and then fly? And if you could fly, seems like it would be the progression. But no, he goes top shelf first. You trust in the Lord, and he'll provide you with strength, and you're going to soar like eagles. And then you can do the other stuff too, because it's underneath it. And it's amazing. We're going to hit on that later. See, this kind of strength isn't found anywhere else. This kind of strength is not found in sources around the world. It only has one source. This faith is found nowhere else because there's no source that compares to the source of our God. No source. See, through faith, God is our source of strength. Think about that. Think about how strength would impact your family. Think about that kind of strength, strength that comes through faith. I'm not talking about the perfect family. I'm talking about the real family. I'm talking about the families that we are all part of this morning. How would your faith bring strength to your situation right now? Because your situation doesn't need to change for your family to change. This kind of strength can provide change within, because sometimes we can't control change outside. Maybe you're a single parent and you're struggling. Through long, difficult hours at work, you're trying to keep up with your kids' activities, you're trying to keep up with housework, you're trying to keep up with their homework, and you're just worn out. You need the kind of strength that only comes through faith. Maybe you're a child with a missing parent or an abusive parent. Or maybe you have great parents. Maybe it's just dealing with the kids at school or grades at school or the various pressures that you guys deal with. Maybe it's that. Whatever your case is, whatever your situation is, you need the strength. You need the strength that only comes through faith. Maybe your family is struggling with physical illness. And it's just draining you. It's draining you physically. It's draining you emotionally. It's draining you mentally. And you need the kind of strength that comes through faith and faith alone. In addition to strength, we get wisdom from our faith. Our faith impacts our life through wisdom. I'm going to write this down. The wisdom needed for decisions that lead to success by depending on God's wisdom. The wisdom needed for decisions that lead to success by depending on God's wisdom. I tell you what, as a husband, as a father, as a child, I make some pretty stupid decisions sometimes. Really bonehead decisions. And I don't think I'm alone. Okay, you're just going to let me feel like I'm alone up here. You're just going to all sit down. Man, that guy sucks. He can't make a good decision. I feel bad for his family. I think we're all in the same boat here. Because with decisions, wise decisions lead to success. Stupid decisions lead to... What were you thinking? Were you thinking? Or I really hope you weren't thinking, because if you were thinking and that was the decision you made, you are a moron. That's where stupid decisions take us. Stupid decisions take us. They lead to disaster. Decisions have consequences. Bad decisions typically have bad consequences. But we don't have to suffer through that. Because if we would just lean on God's wisdom, if we would just listen to his wisdom, then we would make wise decisions. That might sound too simple, too easy to be true. But that really is. That's the truth of it. It's that easy. It's that true. Some of you are very familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." In the previous chapter, the author of Proverbs was talking about wisdom. And he writes these words in chapter 2 of Proverbs. He says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright." Hear that this morning, church. He's talking about wisdom. He's talking about the wisdom from God. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield through whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. If you understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path, he will make your path straight through his wisdom. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be what? I love that word. It'll be pleasant to your soul. Some of us don't have very pleasant lives, but it's because we don't have the wisdom that God's given us. But wisdom will bring pleasant He will be pleasant to your souls. Discretion will protect you. Let's quote some more scripture back and forth to each other. Quote that to somebody beside you. Say, discretion will protect you. Say it with some emphasis, because that's, we're talking about scripture. Discretion will protect you. Amen, brother. We have observed that, have we not? We've seen that in the world around us. Separate from the Bible. Take the Bible all the way out of it just for a second. Have you seen that discretion will protect you in life? We know that to be true through observation. And as Christians who put our faith in the Lord, let's bring the Bible back in here. We know it to be true because it's in the Bible. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Think about the mess, the messes that you would save your family from if you would learn to live in the wisdom that God gave us. Think of how you would not only be protecting yourself, but you'd be protecting your family, your household. See, God's wisdom, it gives us discretion, and that discretion, it protects us. It's stupid decision protection. It's what we all need. We all need some stupid decision protection. I need to market that. Put a brand on it. Stupid decision protection. It's the book of Proverbs. Think about how successful your family would be if you just listened to God's wisdom, if you just leaned on his understanding and he made your paths straight. Maybe you need to listen to God's wisdom about the amount of time that you spend with your family. Does your husband, does your wife, is God's word, is his wisdom telling you to spend more time with them, to give them more of what they deserve, what they need, to honor your commitment to them with your time? Simply with your time. Maybe it's about your children. Maybe you're not spending enough time with your children. And God's wisdom is saying you need to be a dad. You need to be a mom. Maybe you need to listen to God's wisdom about how to deal with your anger when you're upset at a family member. Maybe that's a problem for you. Just fly off the handle and you damage people and you hurt people. Not always just physically, but emotionally, mentally. Maybe you need some discretion, some stupid decision protection when it comes to your anger. It's not wrong to be angry. The Bible says, in your anger, don't sin. It doesn't say don't get angry. It says you need some stupid decision protection when you get angry. Maybe you need to listen to God's wisdom about how to behave yourself sexually. Maybe it's alone in front of a computer, looking at images or videos. Or maybe it's something where you think it's as harmless as chatting with ex-girlfriends or ex-boyfriends on Facebook. You need some stupid decision discretion there. Some stupid decision protection, and depend on the Lord's wisdom and listen to what he has to say about those areas. Verse we read in Proverbs 3, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's a promise, church. That's a promise. Every one of our families would benefit greatly from listening to the wisdom that is available through faith in our God. So faith impacts our household. It impacts our household through wisdom. It impacts our household through strength. And then with this verse in Psalms, I kept wanting to say Proverbs, and Psalms needed to come out of my mouth. This verse in Psalms connects strength with another quality that we're going to look at today, and that is the Lord gives strength to his people. We've learned that. The Lord blesses his people with what? Peace. That's good stuff. Let's go and write this down. Peace in a world of stress and worry by trusting in the love and power of God. It's another quality that our faith brings to our life that impacts our family, our household, because we get peace. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 was talking about how you don't need to worry about what you're going to wear or the food you're going to eat. He said, look at the birds. They don't work for their food, and God takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than a little bird? Look at the flowers of the field. They don't worry about clothes. Look how beautifully they're clothed by God. He says that Solomon, even in all of his splendor, wasn't even dressed like one of these. Down in verse 30, he says that this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. How much more will he clothe you, O you of little what? Faith. It's a faith issue. O you of little faith. Why do you worry? Faith should impact our households with the quality of peace. A peace that is only available from God. It's not available from earthly sources. Just like the strength we talked about, that strength is only available from God. The wisdom we talked about is only available from God. This peace is only available from God. Jesus made a note to let us know that. He said, this peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I'm sorry, I didn't say what verse we were in, but that was scripture. That was John 14:27. So how is God's peace impacting your household? How could it? Maybe your parent who worries all the time, and it's just eating you up. You're worried about your child. You're worried about your teen or your elementary school child. And it's actually made you physically ill from time to time because you just can't stop worrying. Maybe you're stressing over your finances. Maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck, and maybe, you know, just half of the little one would be great. And you're stressed out over that. And you hear this, and you think, you know, it's fine and dandy. I understand God takes care of the birds, whoop-dee, you know, and God takes care of the flowers. I got bills to pay, and my budget is black. My budget, which should be black and white, is black or white and red. And I'm having a hard time connecting with that. The peace comes from the trust and not worrying. A lot of the things we worry about, we can't do anything about it. Now, if you can do something about it, then do something about it. Stop worrying and do something. But 20% of the things we worry about, we can do something about, and 80% we can't. Pretty sure I remember that right. So why worry about that stuff? Jesus says, don't worry about that. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Maybe your spouse, or maybe you've got an aging parent that has some health issues, and they're unresolved. And you're not getting answers back from the doctors, and your head's just full of questions right now. And you don't know what's going on. No one can really give you any kind of an answer, any kind of assurance, any kind of hope or cure. They don't even know what it is. Maybe that's where you are. How would your family benefit from this kind of peace? The kind that is only available through faith. So faith should impact our families through the strength that we receive, through the wisdom that we listen to, through the peace that calms our worrying hearts, and finally through a true sense of self-worth. A true sense of self-worth because God, in full clarity of thought, willfully gave his son for me. God, full clarity of thought. Let me remind you of John 3:16. We can go on and leave that passage, or the blanks up there. I still got people writing, so we'll just leave that up there. And I'll just read John 3:16 to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You're part of the world. You're part of that statement. You're part of that verse. God so loved you. God so loved me that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You need to know that God, in full clarity of thought, in his infinite wisdom, decided to send Jesus for you because he loved you. Because he viewed you as valuable. Valuable enough to give his only son for you. He loves you that much. And that's where your self-worth should come from. It shouldn't come from what the makeup does to your face. It shouldn't come from the scale. Praise God. It doesn't come from the man in the mirror. It doesn't come from the person that you're sleeping beside. It doesn't come from the children in the other room. It doesn't come from how many zeros are after the first figure of how much your car is worth. It doesn't come after how many zeros of how much your house is worth, or how many zeros come after the number that your salary starts with. It doesn't come from those things. It doesn't come from the title outside your office door or sitting on your office desk. It doesn't come from the plaque sitting on your wall of some degree or accomplishment. Your self-worth comes from the love that God has for you, and that's all you need. God loves you, and that's all you need. So why is this important for the family? Why does this come up in a message about the household? It's because our self-worth spills over into so many areas in our life, and our family is the biggest place where that spills over. How do you think your children, your teens, or your little children, how do you think they're going to get a good grasp on what self-worth is all about if you don't give them an example of where it comes from? Or if you don't even know yourself, they're going to be searching just the way you're searching. I'm telling you right now, and I'm telling your children right now, it comes from a God who loves you, a God who says, I love you so much that I'm going to give my son for you. That's where it comes from. How are you going to share that if you don't believe it yourself, if you don't claim it yourself, if you don't live it yourself? Your self-worth affects how you love others, inside and outside of your household. Jesus said, love your neighbor how? As yourself. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells husbands, love your wives as yourself, as you love yourself, as you care for yourself. See, if you don't find value in yourself from God, how are you going to find value in other people from God? If you don't treat yourself like you're worth anything, then how are you going to treat others like they have worth? Also, seeing how God sees you, it affects how you see others. When you see that God loves you and you're part of this God so loved the world, then you start to be able to see your spouse that way, through God's eyes. And you get to see your spouse the way God sees your spouse, not the way a fallen, corrupt person sees your spouse. You get to see your children. You get to see your parents through God's eyes. How will that impact your household? How will that change? See, at this point, many of us are thinking, yeah, this sounds all really good stuff. It's going to take a lot of work. I got a long way to get there. Maybe by this time next year, I can have a little more peace in my life. Maybe by this time next year, I'll be a little more wise. Or, you know, if I can get some more experience under my belt, then maybe I will be one of these guys that has, you know, gray hair and they're all wise and they're all, you know. And here's the shocker this morning. Here's the kicker. Here's the punchline, if you will. That these qualities, write this down, these qualities are not earned or developed. They are already the possession of God's children in all their fullness. He said, those who wait on the Lord, they'll do what? They'll mount up on wings like eagles. Top shelf level. Instantly. Peace. His peace is there. It's available to you. His strength. If we don't have strength, it's not because we haven't learned how to get strength from God. It's simply because we haven't taken the strength that's already been given. If we don't have wisdom, it's not because we haven't lived long enough to gain wisdom. It's because we simply haven't gotten in His Word and taken the wisdom given. If we don't have peace, it's not because we haven't perfected some breathing technique to achieve inner peace. If we don't have peace, it's because we simply haven't taken the peace that God has already offered. If you don't have self-worth this morning, it's not because you need to go through some long-term counseling. So, and maybe you do have something you need to go through some counseling for. That's one level. But I'm telling you what, no matter what your past looks like today and right now, you can accept that God loves you. And that's the best form of self-worth that you're ever going to find. If you don't have that, it's not because you have to earn it or develop it. It's because you simply haven't accepted how God sees you. Let me share two things with you. We're going to write these down. And I don't even need to preach on them. Sentence themselves preaches enough. The first one is, the presence or absence of these qualities will impact my household. Strength, peace, wisdom, self-worth. The presence or absence of these qualities will impact my household. And then the last one. These qualities must impact my household before outside forces impact my household? Impact. Our faith should have an impact on our household. Not just the perfect family, and it's not leading to the perfect family. It's you, it's where you are right now, it's your family, and our faith should impact it with strength and with wisdom and with peace and self-worth.